Kristoham sota dena faha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear sons of the King, I am very much pleased with the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I am so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Since the kings of kings, since the sons of King Prichinibarhishat were all united in Krishna consciousness, the Lord was very pleased with them. Each and every one of the sons of King Prichinibarhishat was an individual soul, but they were united in offering transcendental service to the Lord. The unity of the individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering devotional service to the Lord is real unity. In the material world, such unity is not possible. Even though people may officially unite, they all have different interests. In the United Nations, for instance, all the nations have their particular national ambitions, and consequently they cannot be united. Disunity between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members of sometimes appear disunited due to having different opinions and leaning toward material things. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There is only one goal: serve Krishna to one's best ability. If there is some disagreement over service, such a disagreement is to be taken as spiritual. Those who are actually engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be disunited in any circumstance. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy and willing to award all kinds of benediction to His devotees, as indicated in this verse. We can see that the Lord is immediately prepared to award all benedictions to the sons of King Prichinibarhishat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear sons of the King, I am very much pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I am so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me." Material nature, consisting of these three modes, is very difficult to overcome. The modes of nature are so powerful, like ropes, that keep us helplessly bound to the exploitative pursuits of trying to find happiness in a world of illusion. How to come out of this illusion? Very difficult. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchanamashma. Mind is so restless, so difficult to control. And the senses are so impetuous, so strong, they forcibly carry away even a man of discrimination who's trying to control. So how to overcome the mind and senses? How to resist the temptations of the environment around us? Krishna said this in Gita, it is only by surrendering to Him. Otherwise, it is impossible. Because He is the controller of material nature. He is the Lord of the senses. He can control our senses. He can control our mind. The conditioned soul has no power to do so, independent of the mercy of the Lord. So all of our spiritual advancement is really dependent on the mercy of Krishna. And Krishna bestows His mercy in reciprocation to our surrender. What does it mean to surrender? Surrender means to please, to work for the satisfaction of the Lord. Sam Sadhir Haritosha. Whatever our occupational duties, the purpose simply should be to please Krishna. That is surrender. Real surrender is an expression of love. In the initial stages on the path of devotion, our surrender may be out of fear. Our surrender may be out of an intelligent understanding that it must be done, even though it's so very difficult. But true surrender is the spontaneous desire of the heart to please Krishna. The topmost surrendered souls are the gopis of Vrindavan. They are spontaneously, naturally willing to give up anything, endure any situation, just to please Krishna. A sadhaka, one who is trying to purify themselves, this is how we make advancement. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nakatakuto. In the initial stages of devotion, we cannot see Krishna directly. We cannot really experience Krishna clearly in a direct manner because of our conditioning. But Krishna is so kind that He appears through the spiritual master. He appears through His name. He appears through the deity. He appears through the process of devotional service. But how to perform that devotional service, how to chant the holy name, He speaks through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And when we surrender, when we are obedient to the will of the Lord, when we are willing to live in harmony with the desire of the Lord, then Krishna's mercy can deliver us from the three modes of material nature. Krishna's mercy can uncover the treasure of love of God within our hearts. So how to please the Lord? That is the most vital, essential question in all circumstances, in all times, and in all places. How in this particular situation can I please Lord Krishna? Our pleasing Lord Krishna is not based upon our power of speculation, nor is it determined by our position in society. to please Lord Krishna, we must hear from Krishna and those who are purely representing Krishna. Here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very candidly and very clearly explaining one of the very, very essential elements required to please him. Cooperation amongst fellow devotees. To live in harmony with friendly, loving, mutual relationships. We were discussing last night to some length the conflict within the world around us and how all conflict is due to personal selfish interests, whether they be mental, sensual, sociological, racial, religious, national, idealistically, political. People have their own personal interests. And when they pursue those interests and other persons have their separate central interests, there is conflict. Essentially, it comes down to everyone in this world wants to be the enjoyer. If I want to be the enjoyer and you want to be the enjoyer, then there's going to be conflict. We may make some laws, we may make some alliances by which we are united to help that both of us can enjoy best. But that is very flimsy, because if somehow or other circumstances change and you become an impediment to my enjoyer, then our alliance breaks down and we become enemies. World War II, Russia and America were allies. Yes, they were allies because they had a common interest. Hitler was threatening both of their sense gratification, proprietorship and power and control. So we have a common interest. You want to enjoy and control. I want to enjoy and control. This country is an impediment. Let us work together, allies, united, mutual cooperation, friendship, and fight against him. And they did it, and they won. And then what happened? Then they became as bitter of enemies for the next 20 years as they were in World War II. They almost had nuclear wars. Because these alliances based on personal sense gratification are very circumstantial and unpredictable according to the winds of change that blow in this world. So Krishna is here speaking that when you are united in devotional service, then I am very pleased. Devotional service means in pleasing Krishna. What it really means is we become the servant of the servant of the servant. That's what pleases Krishna. That is the Vaikuntha atmosphere, where all other devotees are Prabhu and I am Das. Then the center is no longer how I can enjoy, how I can prosper. The center is rather how I can help you prosper, how I can help you enjoy Krishna. That is the spiritual world, where our center is pleasing Krishna, and Krishna is pleased when we are more concerned with service, with giving rather than taking. With sharing rather than exploiting. That is what servitude means. cannot serve Krishna without serving his devotees. Devotees are always very eager to give glory and attention to another devotee, more than they are interested in getting it themselves. If you're interested in getting it yourself, you'll get some cheap adoration from people who really do not understand the science of bhakti. But you will not please Krishna. And you will not get the respect of the acharyas who actually have the gift of devotion that they want to give you. Penny wise, pounds foolish, it is said. To get the cheap adoration, distinction, facilities of this world, we're willing to compromise getting the real treasure of prema, prem nidhi, the treasure of love. Krishna wants us to give that. That treasure is immortal. That treasure can satisfy the heart. Position, adoration, distinction, facilities of this world, they may give some temporary happiness to the mind. But ultimately, they create agitation. All material types of happiness create an agitated condition. And even the so-called pacification of agitation that it may seem to bring only further agitates and aggravates our disease. If you have an itch, if you scratch it, seems to pacify the itch, but it makes the climate of your disease more inflammatory. So that's the way the gross senses are, but that is also the nature of the mind. Profit, adoration, distinction. We're agitated. If somehow or other we get some praise, we get some glory, we get some position, we get some acceptance, we're pacified. But really, it's just scratching the rash of the disease of the mind. That's all. What really is the soothing balm that actually penetrates heals is the mercy of Krishna, which comes when we please Krishna. So how to please Krishna? Krishna is saying when the devotees are united, when they have loving friendship with one another in the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant, serving each other, putting the center of our life, the pleasure of Krishna and the service to other devotees rather than my own interests. Because that's actually the soul's real interest. The mind's interest, the senses' interests, unless we're very, very advanced, they are contradictory to the soul's interest. What is really of the self-interest of the Atma? Uninterrupted, unmotivated devotional service. Unconditional servitude is what gives joy to the soul. So here, Lord Vishnu is giving his personal darshan to the Prachetas, the sons of King Prachini Barishat. They are seeing him face to face. And he is offering them any benediction they desire. The Supreme
supreme controller of all controllers is telling him, I will fulfill any desire you have. I will give you the ultimate benedictions of life. Why? Because of your mutual friendship and cooperation with each other. Now that is surrender. In the age of Kali, we are living today, it is a very difficult thing. This is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. The world is permeated with that influence of quarrel and hypocrisy. At any time, for any reason, people fight. If you look at a person, I remember in my youth, I saw someone just, it was a little dark out, and a person came and the person wanted to see, you know, really, who is this? And he just looked at him a little closer. He was being introduced. One friend was introducing another friend to his friend. He said, this is so-and-so. The person actually was a little dark. He was looking. And the person became so upset that he was looking at him in such a way, he immediately punched him right in the face. And their introduction. It's a true story. So you just look at a person in the wrong way and they want to attack you. They become agitated. They want to beat you to show their prowess before others. But to speak, Prabhupada said, if you touch a man's hair, it's such an offense, he wants immediately battle, war. To speak if you look at his wife. So in the age of Kali, you just say the wrong thing accidentally and you offend someone and they become your lifelong avenger. So how to overcome this? How to overcome, how to cooperate. We have to make Krishna the center. Prabhupada talks about the Krishna consciousness movement and Krishna consciousness in this verse. The Krishna consciousness movement and Krishna consciousness are one and the same. And at the same time, they could be very, very much different. There is one particular purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada talks about ordinary, mundane, envious people who are in the Krishna consciousness movement, who are in the robes and in the identity as devotees, but who are actually Kali Chela. They're actually disciples of Kali. It's not by joining an institution that you're spiritual. Everything is based upon the qualities that you have. Just like it's not by being born in a Brahmin family that you are Brahmin. It's not by shaving head, wearing neck beads, and you know, being in the robes or the garbs or in the society of devotees that you're a devotee. A real Vaishnava is the qualities one has. The real quality of the Vaishnav is in the pure state, we are non-envious. We are the well-wisher of everyone. We're the servant of all. And in the state of sadhak, where we're striving, then we are by austerity living by these principles. To create a cooperative, friendly environment where the center is pleasing Krishna. Where the center is living in harmony with the desire of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada told us just before he left this mortal world, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another. Now, people may think that they can show love for Prabhupada by saying, Jai Jai Prabhupada, Jai Jai Prabhupada. And then they fight with each other. Is that love? Not by Prabhupada's definition. You can understand how to show love by the person you're trying to love. Not Prabhupada. You don't know. I know how to love you. That's not love. Love means we have to hear from the beloved. And we have to live in harmony with the desire of the beloved. You can show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another. I remember when I was living in cave in Himalayas. There was scorpions, sometimes cobras and other serpents, sometimes leopards in the environment around me, many monkeys, sometimes brown, sometimes white, many insects, big spiders, many more. But I can tell you honestly, it was so much easier living amongst them than living in the Brahmacharya ashram. Because the false ego of the scorpions and the snakes and the leopards and the monkeys and the spiders and the insects is not really all that conflicting. You know, they may get you, they may bite you, and they may not bite you, but there's not really much of an ego problem. When you're living with human beings, very difficult. And I was thinking, if I get married, that's also a quite... I haven't seen two people yet get along all that well. So living with people is a very difficult situation. How to cooperate? How to somehow or other put your own false ego aside to serve someone else. Very difficult. But that is the austerity of pleasing Krishna. This is the Sankirtan movement. That means together we are glorifying the Lord through our chanting, through our speaking, through our hearing, through our actions. Whatever we do is for the glorification of the Lord. That is Sankirtan. Together. Samyak. Together we are doing. So if we are actually serious about spiritual advancement, we must take this principle of this verse very, very, very much to heart. Day amongst different camps of different gurus, canvassing, my guru is better than your guru, you should come here, no, you should come here, pulling, tugging, amongst Vaishnavas, is this pleasing to Krishna? Vaishnavas fighting, Vaishnavas bringing each other to courts, fighting, Vaishnavas disrespecting someone whose faith is being illuminated in another way. In the name of recruiting, in the name of political considerations, we're simply displeasing Krishna. And within our own ashram, the mind will always be at work to think of ways to not cooperate with somebody else, to find faults with somebody else. is such a thing.
It could make heaven into hell and hell into heaven. And its tendencies, it wants to find faults. Well, you're chanting your rounds. Your mind is just working to try to figure out various ways to find faults with your God brothers, with your God sisters, and with others around you. Proposing so many requisitions of why you should fight with somebody. Not necessarily verbal fight or physical fight, but fight within the mind. So how to overcome that evil Kali influence? By understanding with conviction that what pleases the Lord is our mutual friendly, loving relationships. And we find wherever that atmosphere prevails, so many benedictions come. So many benedictions come. Beautiful temples, wonderful, wonderful expansion of preaching. So many things. In quality, not just in external superficial quality, but in quantity, in quality. Krishna fulfills all of our spiritual desires when he's pleased with us. Gauranga Prabhu particularly selected this verse for me to speak on. So there must be some good reason here at Gaur Bhavan that he wants me to speak on this subject. Now we would like to request Gauranga Prabhu to tell us what is the reason. Perhaps there's problems, or perhaps, like an expert physician, he is giving you inoculation to give you the spiritual strength to be able to somehow or other resist the problem if it does happen in the future, because it will. As soon as selfish interest becomes prominent in our heart, Kali exploits that opportunity and creates havoc in relationships. She knows you cannot hide. You cannot hide any of your vices or any of your ego, selfish ambitions from Kali. Kali's all-knowing and all-pervading within this world today. As soon as there's that ego, phew, Kali's right there to exploit it. Somehow or other, in his laboratory, figure out the chemicals that will make that combustible anarta explode. For those of you who are studying chemical engineering. Is there any questions? Thus, we must learn to unite in the chanting of the holy names and the glorification of the Lord, because that is real unity. Our unity is to put Krishna in the center. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order is we should chant the holy names together to glorify Krishna. I'm servant of the servant, you're servant of the servant, we're all servant of the servant. There's only one master. Chandra Prana Mora Yugala Kishore. My real wealth is the mercy of Lord Nityananda. My Lord, my Master is Lord Sri Gaur Chandra. And Shri Shri Radha.
chanting the holy names together, we are putting Krishna in the center. So that is our unity, to glorify Krishna in Sankirtan. In our discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. And everything we do should be an extension of Sankirtan. Whatever we do in our life should be a united effort. By which we can overcome the influence of Kali. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam. Kalonasteva nasteva nasteva gatyam. The only way in the age of Kali of overcoming this tendency of quarrel and hypocrisy is Sankirtan. Together we chant the names of Hari. Kalyardosanide rajanasti hikuma. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramaji. One benediction in this ocean of faults of Kali. Simply by performing Sankirtan, we can attain the perfection of liberation. Yogyai Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Sumedasha. Therefore, those who have good intelligence, Sumedasha, they come together to put Krishna in the center. Close relatives, you should be respectful. You should respectfully continue what you are doing with great determination. Because if you allow them to divert your attention from the path of pure devotional service, you are actually cheating them. Like a plunderer, you are robbing them of their possibility of getting Krishna's mercy. If you allow them to take you away from the path of bhakti on any level, do you know what an offense they have to... Do you know what an offense that is that they have committed? After 8,400,000 species of life, the spirit soul finally comes to the human form. And after so many human lives, just living like animal, you finally come to the point where you're at the threshold of the ultimate perfection of loving service to the Lord, where you're actually at the threshold of having a treasure that you can distribute in charity to the whole world for the ultimate benefit, and someone takes you away from that to again engage you in animalistic propensities. Waste the valuable jewel that you have attained in the human life. If you allow them to take you away, sentimentally, they may think, oh, now I'm so happy. But really, they're not so happy. I have said many times the example. My parents, when I first came back from India and I was a Vaishnava, at least trying to be, they said, we'll be so happy if you just come back home and live with us. And I said, I lived with you for 18 years and I never saw you were happy. Why should it be different? It's not going to make you happy. It's just one less, out of the many innumerable things that make you miserable, it's just one less thing. But even that will ultimately make you miserable. But if I become a pure devotee, you'll become liberated. So many other people will become liberated. So don't cheat them. cheat them of that opportunity. Don't implicate them in such an offense. But at the same time, because they're relatives, it is your duty to be respectful, to honor them. So you should honor them and respect them, but simultaneously not compromise in the pure devotional path. You may compromise your certain ways in relationship with them. You may not be speaking the absolute truth. You may compromise by saying, how are you, how is Auntie, just to show some kindness according to their understanding, the kindness that they can relate to. We're not fanatics. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when the governor of Bengal came to Mayapur, he treated him with respect according to how the governor can understand respect. He didn't compromise his own principles, but he dealt with him according to his understanding of respect. So if a relative comes and you just immediately start preaching about many hairs in the body as are in a cow, and you go to hell for every time you eat meat, then they're just going to think you're a fanatic. Say, oh, how are you? How is Aunt? How is Uncle? Kaka, kaki. Mama, mommy. All of these things. That's what they like to hear. Then they think you're kind of normal. Do that and not compromise your own personal spiritual purity. That is respect. That is being considerate. Does that answer your question? Sometimes. You are descending from the Satya Yuga. Amongst devotees? Amongst devotees, we should be very meek and humble. Other people? We should understand what it means to be meek and humble. Meek and humble doesn't mean that you let people exploit you. Meek and humble means Krishna's in the center of your life. Meek and humble means you're really living in the spirit of servitude toward Krishna and toward all living beings. But you must understand what it means to serve. The spiritual master is serving by chastising the disciple sometimes. That's actually meekness and humility in a practical form, because this is what's best to serve the disciple, to chastise. The guru is in no other position in his own heart than serving that person. A father is to serve his children. Sometimes the father has to discipline the child. Does not transgress his meekness and humbleness, because he's not doing it for himself, he's not doing it for his own ego, he's not doing it out of frustration, he's doing it because it's the best way to serve. So if you have something that you want to use for Krishna, and somebody wants to take it away for egoistic, materialistic purposes, then your meekness and humility toward Krishna has to defend what belongs to Krishna. At New Vrindavan in 1972, some dacoits attacked with guns and shot devotees, broke deities. They were like the Western version of Aurangzeb's people. And the devotees were helpless. weapons and learn how to defend the temple and defend the devotees. If these people come, you don't just let them break deities and rape women and shoot people. It's your duty to defend what's the property of God and the rights of the devotees, the sanctity of devotees. So that's meekness and humility. Sometimes to fight if people are trying to exploit our rights. So we must understand the spirit of what real meekness and humility is. It's not just a sentiment. It's not just anybody who wants to do anything. I just very quietly say, all right, Prabhu, you may do. Because he was serving the interest of Krishna. But he was not doing it for himself. He was not doing it for his own ego, his own distinction. He was actually living in harmony with Krishna's will. So if someone's trampling on your own false ego, yes, you should be meek and humble. Someone is trampling on your rights to serve Krishna, or someone is threatening the property of Krishna, then it is time to stand up. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Chan, he ordered everyone in Navadvip to chant Harinam. So the devotees were chanting with mridanga, with karatals, sometimes with conch shells, sometimes with gongs, sometimes just clapping their hands. Chand Kazi, he became outraged. He went, he had 1,000 soldiers just combing through the streets and the lanes of Navadvip looking for anyone doing Sankirtan. They would beat them, they would break their mridangas. So the devotees were meek and humble. They came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, what are we going to do? We can't stand up against the military of the Chand Kazi. He was the very supreme embodiment of those principles. He called the devotees of Navadvip and he said, today, Nityananda Prabhu, spread the word, call the Vaishnavas. Today, I will personally dance in the streets of Navadvip. Today, I will lead the kirtan. Today, I will burn down the house of the Chand Kazi. Death personified stands before him. What will he do? Hare Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought all those people of Navadvip completely against, totally against the laws of Chand Kazi. Dancing in the street in utter civil disobedience. But did he do it for himself? He did it for the sake of Dharma, as Arjuna fought for the sake of Dharma, selflessly, in a spirit of service. compassion. Requires real intelligence, not just sentiment. Just like Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, used the example that if a person has typhoid, if the person eats fried paratas, he dies. Yes? But the person wants fried paratas. Prabhupada actually explained this. When he was young, living as a grihastha in Calcutta, a child had typhoid. And he was crying to his mother, please give me fried paratas, I want fried paratas. And the mother said, no, no, you have typhoid, no fried paratas. Ah, yeah, I hate you, give me fried paratas. So the mother gave him fried paratas out of compassion. And what happened? The child died. Is that compassion? Compassion is not just the immediate needs of a person. We have to see the whole picture. A proper preacher has to look and to see. In a broad vision. So we should train the students who are coming to us at IIT in the proper etiquette. Because factually, the people of IIT are working very hard to maintain this institution. Yes? The faculty members, the teachers, the administrator, they are working very, very hard to maintain this educational institution, the integrity and the dignity of this institution. What are we doing? What are you doing? You're just getting, of course you're giving tuition money, so that's something. But ultimately, you're just getting the results of all their hard work. So a devotee's grateful. It is said in the West, do not bite the hand that feeds you. You're here, you're learning. By the process of learning, you're going to get power and distinction in the world that you could use in Krishna's service in a very, very valuable way. You're also given so much opportunity to meet so many young, intelligent future leaders of the world and help them to become Krishna conscious. That's a facility being provided to you. Now, whether we agree or not agree, it's just basic etiquette, common sense, that you respect. Somebody lets you in their house and you don't respect them because they're doing things different than you, then do you think they're going to keep you as a guest in their house? Huh? So I have heard that some people have criticized the canteens or the messes that they're serving poison. That's the college giving the food. Huh? Now, whether it's true from the philosophical level or not, there's basic etiquette. It's like we were talking about when you go to meet your relatives, you don't just tell them if you want them to be favorable to you, you have to show them some affection and respect. You don't just start quoting Manu Samhita on everything they do. Disown you. They'll never want to talk to you again. They'll think you're a crazy, hateful fanatic. Huh? We're not fundamentalists. We're compassionate Vaishnavas. What does it mean to be compassionate? It means according to time and circumstance, we have to do the needful to elevate people's consciousness. Should show respect and gratitude toward the institution. Whatever they're feeding to the students, that's their business. We're trying to give Krishna consciousness, but if we criticize publicly what they're doing, then it's not proper etiquette for one thing, as far as from the point of view of strategy, it's utter ignorance. Because yes, you may say something that may be on one level true, that's not going to really affect anybody's lives on a positive way, but it's going to affect thousands of people's lives in a negative way, because you won't be allowed to preach in the campus anymore. Huh? And as far as grades, it is, as far as a student goes, your service is to chant sincerely, associate devotees sincerely, and get good grades. Because that's what will give dignity and integrity to our society in the eyes of the faculty and in the eyes of the student body. If you don't get good grades because you're a devotee, you will actually be chasing people away from Krishna consciousness. Your example will be disturbing the integrity of our society in the eyes of the people. So if you want my advice, people who come to take prasad with the devotees, there should be strict, uncompromising laws. Shastra. Shastra laws. And shastra weapons for those who don't fight, follow the laws. And what is that? Unless a person's behavior is exemplary, unless a person's etiquette is exemplary, and unless a person's studying is exemplary, they should not have the right to come and take prasad with us. Now, you may be sentimental and give the sick child a fried paratha, thinking, oh, he's crying, he can't take anywhere else, how can he eat those things other places? But feeding that fried paratha to that person is not only harming that person, but it's threatening hundreds and hundreds or thousands of other young men from the opportunity of perfecting their lives. Do you understand? So people should know, if you want this level of association of devotees, you have to work hard in your studies and be exemplary. That is your preaching. Not willing to do that, then you can chant, you can read Bhagavatam, you can come to the evening programs, but as far as coming and taking prasad and these things, no. You're a blemish on Srila Prabhupada's name, on the name of our institution, on the name of our path of spirituality, by coming, taking prasad with us, not being exemplary in your lifestyle here in the college. So I think you should be very strict. A person's behavior, sadhana, as well as studies, grades, should be minimum satisfactory to the administration. If we do that, we will give impetus to people to be more responsible in their prescribed duty, which is studying. And not only that, but we will create an environment where the faculty will appreciate us rather than condemn us. Because we have to understand, they're not mahatmas. They're professors. And we are coming within their realm of occupation. So if a person is doing bad in their studies, we have to understand, they're going to calculate by that. Respect that. see the results. Sentiment. Feed him a fried parada. And the result is now even the... There was auditoriums booked for the program last night. But because of feeding some fried paradas to some crying students, we end up on the roof here. Probably one-third or one-fourth of the people could have come. Yes. So we have to see the whole picture. It was a wonderful program last night. I'm very happy. But we should understand that us, whatever rules they have made against us, it's not just the faculty being closed-minded. We should see it as Krishna wants to teach us a lesson. Krishna is trying to speak a message to us. If you're preaching in America, if you're preaching in India, if you want to be successful, you have to respect the laws of the state. In the Vedic scriptures, polygamy is allowed. A man can have more than one wife. Throughout the Vedas, it's in the Bible, it's in the Quran. It's a natural thing on that level. However, Srila Prabhupada, because devotees are reading about Vasudev had Rohini, he had Devaki, he had several wives. King Chitraketu, how many wives did he have? And these are great people. Arjuna. He had at least three wives. Yes? So we read about these things. Bhima had a couple wives. Krishna had 16,108 wives. Well, Prabhupada, but when devotees wanted to take more than one wife, Prabhupada said, you have to respect the laws of the land. Preaching in America, we have to respect and honor their laws and cooperate with them, even if they're not exactly the way we. So if you're coming into IIT, you have to respect their standards. We have to honor them. We have to be, and we have to show respect and gratitude to them for what they're giving and not fight against them in that sense. Who are benefited should definitely voice how much they're benefiting. But your voice will be heard if, according to their standards, you are proper. If 100 people come who are failing their exams and say, we like this movement and it's doing good for us, what will the faculty say? What good is it doing? By our standards, it's ruining your life. You were doing good until you started eating their prasad. But of 100 people who are excelling in their grades, who are doing exceptionally well, if they come and say, we are doing this, and we see nothing wrong by your standards, then they have to listen. They have to take note of that. And they will. So any of you who are students, any students you know, you should inculcate this message in their hearts that your service to Krishna is to do exceptionally well in your studies, as long as you're here. Along with your hearing, along with your chanting. And if you're not doing well, then don't put blemish, don't put shame our society in the eyes of the people who are providing so much for us. Chant, and keep low key. Take your food with everybody else. But don't come and show your separatism toward us and then disgrace us. Because really you're disgracing Krishna. Is there any questions on this particular subject? Yes, Prabhu. Sure not to do that. What they say in America, spare the rod, spoil the child. Our Brahmachari ashram at Radha Gopinath temple, there's strict rules. At the beginning, people thought it was harsh, insincere, undisciplined people. Harsh that they couldn't live in the ashram. But what is the result of being strict? It's actually merciful because it gives integrity to so many thousands and thousands of people to see what the standard is. They see integrity in our society, they see integrity in our leaders, and they have faith. And they come. You're not kicking them out. They're kicking themselves out. That's the way it should be seen. We have a rule. Unless your studies are satisfactory according to the administration, you cannot come here and take prasad. Now, we're not kicking you out. If you're not working hard enough in your studies, you are kicking yourself out, Prabhu. We're not closing the door. We're telling you that the door's open. There's a price, not a monetary price, the price of your sincerity. And I think you should, even if they cry, even if they weep, even if they threaten to commit suicide, you should hold fast. Practically every brahmachari that's ever joined their ashram, the parents threaten to commit suicide. But out of thousands of such threats, it's never happened. So we can't be just blackmailed by their emotions. We have to have standards, and we have to have a vision of real compassion is not giving that person a fried paratha. Real compassion is creating an image of our society that will be respected by the faculty, the administration, and the students on the campus. That's preaching. What do you say? Heart. Very well, thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu. We have intelligence, we have the power of discrimination. The intelligence. intelligence is supposed to overrule the condition of the mind. Yes? The body is chariot. The horses are the five senses. The passenger is the spirit soul, the jivatma. The reins are the mind, and the charioteer is the intelligence. Now, what happens if the reins are controlled by the horses? Then the spirit soul is in a very, very dangerous, unpredictable predicament. Or what happens if the charioteer is a madman? He's insane, he's crazy. Or the intelligence just wants to do whatever the horses say. The charioteer, whatever the horses want, that's what I want. Then the spirit soul's in the most abominable predicament. The purpose of the charioteer is to somehow or other control the horses, control the reins, control the mind according to the real needs of the passenger. Yes? If you go in a taxi, and the taxi driver in this sense is the intelligence. If you tell the taxi driver, please take me to Radha Ras Bihari temple in Juhu, and he takes you to some disco in Malad. What is that? He's supposed to be doing what you say. So the intelligence is supposed to be united with the soul and performing the austerity of directing the mind and the senses and the body. So with our intelligence, we should be preaching to the mind. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, every morning I beat my mind 100 times with shoes and every evening with broomstick. Yes? That means the intelligence. The intelligence has to keep the mind in check. So when we see that our mind is finding faults with others, our intelligence has to discriminate. This is your spiritual downfall. This is not pleasing to Krishna. This is not pleasing to Guru. The intelligence should somehow or other convince the mind to see the good in others. Podmarks on the moon. To find fault in a Vaishnava is looking at podmarks on the moon. There's so much beautiful shining light coming from the moon. In comparison, the podmarks are of very little relevance, although they're there. The fact that this person's chanting Hare Krishna, the fact that this person's a devotee, even though the person may be full of anarthas, he's one out of hundreds of millions because he's taking to the path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So try to see the good. Try to offer respect. Amani namanadena, that is the principle of Mahaprabhu. The intelligence has to preach to the mind. The intelligence has to monitor the wavering, uncontrolled tendencies of the mind. The nature of the mind is to find faults. The purpose of the intelligence is to see the good in Vaishnavas. The fly is very eager to go to the sewage areas where all kinds of abominable substances are present. And he likes to drink the juice of stool and urine. Yes? Whereas a honeybee wants to go to the flowers. And he doesn't even care about the flower. He's only looking for the essence of the pollen to drink the nectar. So we have to convert the mind from being a fly to a honeybee. And that's the business of the intelligence. To discipline the mind, preach to the mind, monitor the mind on the basis of what we read in the scriptures, what we hear from our spiritual masters. The intelligence is nourished by that, by the power of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And with that power must control the mind, must preach to the mind, must understand things. Therefore, it's very important that we are philosophically strong so the intelligence can deal with the mind. It's not that we just have to be philosophically strong to preach to the people, to the conditioned souls in the world. We have to be philosophically strong to preach to our own mind. Yes? Hari Hari. Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "You're so beautiful, you're so young, you're only 24 years old, you've taken sannyas. How will you survive as a sannyasi? Unless you're really able to discriminate between matter and spirit. So I will teach you the Vedanta Sutra. Then you will be able to discriminate." And actually what he was saying was right. The only problem is he wasn't right about who Lord Chaitanya was. And he wasn't right about his interpretation of Vedanta Sutra. But the principle that unless our intelligence is fixed in the truth, then we'll easily be disturbed and diverted by the allurements of material nature. So we must nourish our intelligence by reading the scriptures, by coming to Harikatha, by sincerely taking shelter of the holy name, so that when the restless mind and senses become affected and influenced by the environment around us, the intelligence says, "No, like this. Ah, you're finding fault with this devotee? The fault is in you." Bhaktisiddhanta taught our intelligence what to think. He said, "Whenever I see a fault in another devotee, it's because I am honeycombed with hundreds and thousands of faults myself. That's why I'm seeing this fault." The world is a mirror of your own mind, of your own consciousness. If you can't see good in another Vaishnava, that's not his problem, that's your problem. Something you have to work on. In this way, the intelligence must perform its service. Does that answer your question? I think we should end, though, because it is 9:15. Well, one more question. Bhakti means knowledge and detachment also. You have to be detached. Some detachment is required. Because the problem is when you have a whole room of people with perfectionist attitudes, and each has their own interpretation of perfection at every moment. Yes? More difficult. And among students of IIT, you're all perfectionists to some extent, otherwise you couldn't be coming to this university. So you have that tendency. So we should be striving for perfection. We should understand what really is perfection. There has to be a sense of detachment. That's part of perfection. You're right or wrong, if in a particular specific instance of management or practical application, whether you're right or wrong, if you create havoc and enmity, then in the little picture you're right, and in the big picture you're all wrong. When it comes to the Siddhanta, the philosophy, we cannot compromise. But when it comes to application, according to time, place, and circumstance, we have to be practical and we have to be a little detached. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he wanted to give people Krishna consciousness. He understood, if I teach them all the orthodox rules and regulations and rituals, these people will be bewildered. They'll never accept. And it's the same thing here in IIT. You people are in a Western-oriented educational system. You're very much Westernized in many ways. If all the strict ritualistic rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness were provided to you, you would faint. Huh? You would faint. Therefore, Prabhupada gave the essence because it was practical. And he was criticized for it. People who just couldn't do anything he was doing. Because they were very perfectionists in all the details. And he was perfectionist in the essence. And somewhat lenient in the details. But that's how he transformed people's hearts. So in the essence, we should be perfectionists. In the details, we have to be practical, kala desha patra, according to time, place, and circumstance. And as the prachetas, obviously, they're kings, they're sons of King Prachini Barhishat, they're descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, Swayambhu Vamanu. These are great personalities. There's 10 of them living in the bottom of the ocean together for 10,000 years doing tapasya. There you go. There was plenty of reasons for them to argue and fight. They didn't. Each one had their own heart, their own opinions, but they understand our unity, our harmony on the basis of the essence of pleasing Krishna is what will please the Lord. So don't be a perfectionist on the basis of your false ego. Be a perfectionist in pleasing Krishna. Understand how there has to be some enthusiasm, but in certain cases detachment. Within any society there's leaders, and each leader the nature of a leader is usually they have strong wills and they have different ways. Bhima, kill the rascal. He's an offender. And Arjuna's in the middle. He doesn't want to displease his older brother. And he definitely doesn't want to displease his wife. Either way, his life is hell. Can you imagine displeasing Bhima and having to live with him? And can you imagine the nagging of Draupadi if you displease her and break her heart? How do you go? He respected them. He loved them. He didn't want to break Draupadi's heart. He didn't want to break Bhima's heart. But they're telling him opposite things. Bhima, kill the rascal! He's an offender! And Draupadi's saying, forgive him. Let him go. His mother noble soul, she should not suffer the death of her only son. Now Arjuna's inclinations were certainly toward Bhima. Yes, because he's a Kshatriya. Draupadi's, she's a Kshatriya, but she's a lady also, and she's a mother. And mothers have their way of thinking. And fighters have their way of thinking. So what did Krishna tell him to do? He told him to kill him and not kill him simultaneously. By humiliating a kshatriya, that's worse than death, but at the same time, the mother doesn't care if she's humiliated. The mother's just, as long as he's alive, I'm happy.
long as he's eating well, I'm happy.
So he had to compromise according to time, place, and circumstance. And he's dealing with Vaishnavas. Here we have an instance of Vaishnavas who have completely different opinions and are very strong about their opinions. And actually, Draupadi and Bhima were both happy. They were satisfied. Because there was a certain sense of detachment for the sake of the whole. Does that answer your question? Huh?
Yes.
Perfectly? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I want to thank all of you very much. And Gauranga Prabhu told me some of you are cycling here. Yes, he wanted me to say something about that. Oh, from IIT campus, bicycle. Bicycle or motorcycle? Bicycle is better than motorcycle. Motorcycle, you just, the only exercise you get is your wrist. People need exercise for physical. Your body is a temple of God. Just the duty to keep the temple in proper condition. For good health, whether it's Ayurveda or allopathy or homeopathy or naturopathy or any other pathy. Everyone agrees that some of the ingredients of good health, one is cleanliness, hygienic intelligence, two is proper diet, and three is proper exercise. These three things are very essential to maintain the temple of God, to be equipped to actually do the service we want to do. So actually, bicycling is one of the is a very good exercise for the body. It's a benediction. By modern standards, it's called aerobic. That's one of the most conducive aerobic exercises, is bicycling. Because it makes the circulation, the heart, the organs. So it's very, so you should consider coming here by bicycle is the ultimate for body, mind, and soul. Whereas if the program was close by, it would only be for the mind and the soul. But now you're getting body, mind, and soul. Everything's being nourished and strengthened by this exercise. In fact, to be honest with you, because in my age, exercise is so important. Every age, exercise is important. Devotees got me they brought to me a stationary bicycle. Really? Stationary bicycle. Because for me to go to give class or hear class, it's only about a 3-minute, it's only about a 10-second walk from my room. So what exercise am